This show was brought to you by Ouch My Ego, ouchmyego.com.
Hey everybody, yeah, welcome. I'm your host, Elby.
Yeah.
Andrew is tied to a chair. I can't understand you. What? You're gonna have to, like, speak up or something. Okay, fine. Fine, hold on.
What did I just watch?
Yeah, you watched Teen Witch and I made you.
High school. It's supposed to be the time of your life. But for Louise Miller, high school was a living hell. From her first secret love to her first blind date.
Nobody wants to date you because you're a dog. A dog!
My life is a walking, talking tragedy.
But just when nothing more could possibly go wrong.
It's you. You're one of us. A witch?
Something wonderful went right. Now she's possessed with special powers that are simply bewitching. She can make her worst teacher hot and her best friend cool.
I want to be the most popular girl.
You have the power to make anything you want happen.
Can I make him love me?
Love you? With me being your coach, he's gonna become your love slave.
Everybody dreams, but Louise's dreams all come true.
Astroth, Barbas, Tetragrammaton, Theos, Ishnos, Athetos.
What?
It's a new U2 song.
Teen Witch. Winning is a magical feeling.
So, Andrew, what did you think of the movie Teen Witch?
It fits with the premise of the show, but I would have never chosen to have watched it.
I can't believe you haven't seen it. I mean, it's like one of those movies. It's one of those terrible movies from everyone's childhood that you just love. So, why haven't you seen Teen Witch? You've seen Teen Wolf.
Yes,
I know that.
Teen Wolf and Teen Wolf 2.
Teen Wolf 2.
Oh, Teen Wolf. And Teen Wolf 2. But I'm a boy. This came out in 1989.
Yeah, when I was 8 years old.
And I wasn't 8 years old.
No, you were not. You were like, what, 15, 16?
14, 15.
So and this movie was prime for you.
No.
It has the pretty girl teenagers who are actually like 34.
29. Except for Robin, the lead actor, Robin Lively, is more close to my age than other teen. Well, I only liked her appearance in Twin Peaks. And I was like, oh, another pretty girl in Twin Peaks. But right. This is besides the point. I'm neither a big fan nor not a fan at all.
Was this movie supposed to be like a launching point for her career and it just didn't happen?
I don't know.
You think?
She was a TV actor. She had lots of parts.
Oh.
She had a career.
I only know her from two things. I know her from Teen Witch and Twin Peaks, like you just said.
Huh. Yeah, she had like bit parts or she was just a day player or something like that
right. For
a TV show.
I think she's cute.
Yeah.
I think she's cuter than her half-sister, Blake.
I don't know. I like Blake. She's got a pretty face. I don't know. I don't know anything. But I do know that this movie is bonkers.
It's very surreal. Like, it's almost a musical.
Yes.
Lots of singing, dancing, rapping. The famous rap scene.
This is the only thing I know from the internet. People posting that on the internet. Like, once every year.
Once a year we revisit Top That.
Yeah. Which goes a little something like this.
When I snap my fingers, everybody says, sure, I'm hot, and you're not. But if you want to hang with me, I'll give it one shot, Top That.
It's awful.
It's awesome.
So, this movie, this is a Coke movie. This is
a cocaine movie.
Cocaina. Cocaina. This movie had to have been greenlit because of Teen Wolf.
Yes.
And Teen Wolf 2. They were like, well, Teen Wolf 2 wasn't as good as Teen Wolf 1, but there's still a market for it. Except there's nothing for girls. So,
and boy howdy is this movie for girls. The title sequence, which is actually, watching it now, because I haven't seen it since I was small, is kind of excruciating. It's this like romantic...
It's Cinemax. Yeah. Skinemax without the skin. It is... Okay, being at that age at that time, in 89, where you finally discover that, hey, you have Cinemax on your cable system and your parents aren't wise to what's on it, and then you stay up late.
Oh, believe me, my dad knew.
Your dad knew. My parents eventually figured it out, but not by my own watching it. They figured it out just because they happened upon it or something. I never got busted or anything, but I did watch Skinemax every so often. They were always thrillers. It's not what you have now, which are comedies that aren't funny, but it's a bunch of bad acting and campy.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a bunch of actual penetration porn that they cut around. That's not what it was like back in 89, 90, 91, 92. They were just usually thrillers, and they would have that awful saxophone music.
Yep, and soft lighting, big hair.
Yeah, it was like Playboy Playmates of the early 90s that you would see. Blown out hair, and yeah, the lighting, the way you said. So I was familiar with that. So watching this intro, it was very much reminiscent of the kind of fantasy sex thrillers that they would have at the time. And it confused the heck out of me, because this is a movie apparently made for teen girls.
Well, she's dreaming, you know?
Yeah, it's a fantasy. It's a sex fantasy that she's having without any sex in it, except it's set up exactly like the sex fantasies that you see on Skinamax.
Well, maybe she reads romance novels.
It's all the same. It's pornography for girls without nudity.
Yeah, yeah. It was really excruciating.
At a later point, she does gaze upon her object of affection. It's totally objectifying the man in this. Everything she does objectifies this.
Oh, right, when she's creeping on him after football practice.
Right, and he takes off his jersey, and then you see, like, glistening soft lighting off his abs and his chest and his nipples.
What are we teaching young girls today? Don't objectify men. Don't be the Diet Coke commercial.
What does that mean?
Wait, you remember the Diet Coke commercial where it's like a bunch of office women, there's a construction worker like across the way, and they see him crack open a Diet Coke and his shirt's off and he's all like, you know, drinking the Diet Coke. And they're all like, woo-hoo-hoo.
All right, okay.
Yeah. Don't do that, girls.
I mean, well, hey, there's a way to check people out. There's a way to do it. It's not to be a creep. It's not to be like men often are at a strip club, I assume. I've never been. Oogling, you know, the whole cartoon. Auga! Tongue out.
Tex Avery
cartoon thing. Yeah. There's that way, which is the silly, benign, but kind of still creepy gross. There's the guys that are just like slimy faced, and they're just salivating all over the place. And then catcallers. I've had ladies catcall me. I've had dudes catcall me. It's all creepy. Stop it.
So once we get past this awful title sequence, where it's way too long, so long.
Yeah.
You know, which is about a girl. She's very mousy and not very popular for some reason, because it's the she's all that problem.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, she's obviously a cute girl. She's obviously attractive.
Yeah.
And she just, for some reason, wears these awful clothes.
Yeah.
And is a little bit weird or sensitive. And
No, there's nothing about her personality. Look, you watch Ferris Bueller,
mm-hmm.
You see everything about his personality in his room. It's a mess, of course, and he's a boy,
right,
of course,
right.
But you can see that he likes Bryan Ferry and he likes some other weird band, and he has an appreciation for flags, because that's cool. American flag and a British flag, both. There's room for it.
Yeah, that's fine.
And he's got keyboards, so he's into music.
Yeah.
And he's got, for some reason, hip waders on the back of his door. What is that about? Anyway, this all adds to his character, and of course, how he dresses.
Yeah.
And the only thing you have of her is how she dresses.
Her room is really boring. Louise has a very boring room. It's like she's the basic B of 1989.
It would have been cool if it was the basic B of 1983 plus 6.
So she, when I say she's sensitive, I mean that she like actually thinks about the world. Yeah, there's this.
Does she think about the world? She thinks about how the world treats her.
Yeah, I guess. There's a couple of scenes in which we see that she has more in her head than most of the kids who are portrayed in the
movie.
At
what point? Early or later?
Well, kind of early, and then later on, she's in class and she's talking to the dreamy Brad, and she's like,
"You know, why do you put up with her? I mean, she seems so superficial."
Every guy wants to go out with the most popular girl in school.
Popularity really counts, doesn't it?
Sure.
You could tell that she knows. Superficiality is not good. Individuality is good.
Hilarious, however.
I know.
This girl is one of the most superficial girls
on the
planet.
Yeah. That's ironic. And then later on, he's talking about how he really wants to take her to the prom.
Look, you're not phony. You don't play games with people to make them like you more. That's really important to me.
And
let me finish. You're honest, and I respect you for that.
Of course, by that time, she's not any of those.
She's not at all, because she's decided that her witch powers are only going to be used for her own vanity. She turns 16. Well, first of all, she goes to see Zelda Rubinstein.
Who is a terrible actor. Rest in peace, Zelda Rubinstein. You're a bad, bad actor.
Well, she's cast in these roles for one reason and one reason only.
She's tiny and kind of creepy.
Yeah.
She just doesn't ever have any good line delivery.
Well,
she's just a bad actor. And she's always been, even in Poltergeist.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
she tells her what?
Well, okay, so she is a palm reader.
A witch, basically.
Yes. And Louise just happens upon her house because she's stuck out in a storm and her bike's broken. And Zelda, her name is Madame Serena, I think. So she tries to con her out of some money because that's what palm readers do. And then she realizes, she's looking at her hand and she's like, oh, wait a minute. What's your name? Louise Miller? Miller? Oh.
Oh, speaking of wait a Miller.
Minute. Oh, Josh.
Joshua John Miller.
What a little weirdo.
Touch me and die, lady.
And I love him for it, and I just realized this at all, ever. I've seen a good handful of Josh Miller movies.
He's always that little strange kid.
Meet the Hollowheads. He's the same character as he is in this movie, except in this movie he has a food fetish.
River's Edge.
He's somewhat of the same character, except he's a punk.
Yep.
He's obnoxious. Various other movies, he has the same kind of role, and he always fit that role. And the other thing I learned today was that he's the half-brother of Jason Patrick.
Crazy.
Crazy, and they look absolutely nothing alike. However, Josh Miller elevates whatever he's in. It's true. At least for me, I go, oh no, not him. And then I thoroughly enjoy what he does. Oh yeah, he's in Near Dark as well.
Yeah, that's right. Is he a Lost Boy?
He could have been, but that was at the time when Near Dark was being
made. Yeah, okay.
But he's basically a Lost Boy in the movie Near Dark, but he's the only Lost Boy.
He's basically a Lost Boy in real life.
Basically.
You think you're hot stuff because you went to a dance. Dreamers!
Anyway, so Joshua John Miller. So she sees that her name is Miller, and then she's like, oh, you're gonna turn into a witch.
Well, okay, so she goes over to her bookshelf and pulls out this book that's basically like freshman Facebook of witches. She turns to the right page and there's her picture, Zelda's picture. They're dressed like olden, I guess, like gypsy looking, I guess. So it turns out that I don't really know how this works exactly, but Louise is sort of like a reincarnation of this old witch that was friends with Madame Serena. Like they've been friends forever in all these different lives. They have the exact same face. Though, which is weird because you would think that Madame Serena would immediately recognize Louise as this other witch they've been friends with.
Right.
And then Serena tells her that on her 16th birthday, she's going to start having some powers.
Right.
And, you know, you'll know it when you see it.
Basically. Flash to her 16th birthday, which is, I guess, that next day or something.
Right.
And she's got no friends because the popular girl has set up a party specifically that day to spite her.
Right.
Or so it seems. Or something, even though it's not been said. Her friend says, I'll be right over. Then it cuts to her having a nightmare.
Right.
Which is her powers coming to fruition.
Yeah. So she makes this gross guy that she had to go to the dance with go away. She says, I wish he'd leave me alone, and then he just disappears. So all these like little powers start developing. So she turns her little brother into a dog.
That part's hilarious.
It's really funny.
It's genuinely funny because it kind of comes out of nowhere.
Nobody wants to date you because you're a dog. A dog!
I feel funny. Can't stand up.
You are standing up.
I'm a dog. Louise, what'd you do to me?
Nothing.
You.
Nothing I can't fix. It was just a mistake. I can fix it.
Look at me. Oh my, look at all this hair on me. I even smell like a dog. Oh, Louise, I gotta get out of here.
It's just really humorous. All this stuff that Josh says is really funny. Again, it's a Josh scene.
Yes.
So it excels.
That spell wears off, dude.
She's set up to go on a date with this super nerdy guy who would be a total hipster today.
Except that he acts like a douche.
He acts like a doofus.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, but he like wants to grope her and stuff.
Yeah, also.
Yeah, but I think that's a vehicle just to show that she can make people disappear.
Yeah.
Because that's what she does.
She makes it rain.
She makes the carousel start.
She causes a hurricane.
Which, you know.
Not really.
Now that I know, like every time I feel a really strong gust of wind, I'm just gonna be like, oh, some girl just got her witch powers.
Yeah, which is code for puberty. Teen Wolf has it where when he reaches a certain age, these are all coming of age movies.
Yeah.
His dad, see, this is all hereditary with Teen Wolf.
Because her dad, Dick Sargent, is also a witch.
No, he's not.
No, he's not.
This is such a strange movie. This is a message movie for girls, and the message is, do witchcraft because you can get everything that you want.
Yeah.
You can be mean, cruel, petty, selfish, as superficial and vapid as you want, as long as you say a spell beforehand, and you're the only person who knows that you did so.
And it's cool because everybody likes you, so you have nothing to be guilty about.
I have a friend who went and saw Pulp Fiction, and he left right after Vincent shot heroin because that scene where he shoots heroin and he's driving in the car, the cinematography is just cool.
Yeah.
And you see the euphoria on Vincent's face. Now, my friend saw this and was like, what? This is glorifying heroin use! And so he left. Because he's a stick in the mud sometimes. If he had stayed, he would have seen how absolutely no glorification was given to the heroin use. It was a ruse. Pull the rug out from under the pleasure. In just 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And he didn't wait. In this movie, if he was sitting through it, this is the movie in which you get up and leave. Because absolutely, at no time, do they depict any of the popularity stuff that this girl is achieving through her witchcraft. Anything that she does. There's no real conflict. There's just her getting everything that she wants and smiling and loving it.
Until she realizes that maybe Brad doesn't love her because she's her.
But there's no evidence of any of that. That's just her thinking, well, I made him do it.
Yeah.
There's nothing interesting about it
mm-hmm.
that makes her go, oh, I don't know, other than my own actions.
Madame Serena is all like,
Louise, everyone loves and listens to you, right?
Yeah. I mean, they agree with me before I even finish what I'm saying.
Picky, picky. You don't know what a luxury it is to have people agree with you.
I'm not happy, okay?
Who is happy? You'll get used to it. Believe me, you're gonna knock him dead at the dance. You wanna give that up?
Oh, honey, that doesn't matter. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's like...
no, it does matter, lady.
And her best friend is the one that's kicked to the side in the dumbest way. She gets a ride from Brad and his girlfriend, and the little friend is on her bike and is like, hey, and immediately is mad at her because she got a ride and she didn't see her little friend. Like, she got in the car, didn't see you showing up on your bike. Maybe it was set up ahead of time, but they've been doing that.
They do this every day. They do it every day.
Right,
they ride to school together.
But I don't think it was a full-on, I'm ignoring you. She just full-on gets mad. This is a movie that tells you that girls are absolutely petty, and most of them are really gorgeous. Because, well, there are a lot of dancers.
Yeah. You like that little locker room scene in the beginning, where they're all in their gym leotards.
Yes, that was another scene that was out of place. They started...
That was weird.
It was bizarre. There were a couple of funny dance gags.
Yeah.
Where,
oh, with the towels?
Yeah, with the towels, and she looks like she's a giant. That's a humorous gag. But there's particularly two young women who were not teen-aged. They were much older and much more accomplished as dancers. And they're wearing these unitards, which are French cut, so more legs showing. And they're all form-fitted. And they're really good-looking ladies. So it's like butts, 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 all over the place when they're dancing. And I'm like, this, how is, wait, okay, so this was directed by a guy, written by a woman, and then story brushed up by a man. So butts. And boobs. There's another lady that just stands out in a school dance. There's two school dances in the movie, and they shot them all at the same time. Or that girl just really, the girl just really likes that outfit, so she went to two school dances. And that lady, is amply bosomed. And yeah, she just throws those around. And she's in both scenes at both ends of the film.
So do you think that Louise really did learn her lesson? Do you think that she realized that witchcraft is not really supposed to be about vanity and superficiality or revenge?
No.
No, do you think she's going to keep using her witch powers?
Yes,
because it just ends on them dancing, she and her dream.
It ends with her going, I'm taking off the magic amulet, which I don't really need. Oh, there's the boy that likes me. Let's dance.
Oh, there's a lesson there in the amulet, too. I think a funny lesson is if you're in high school and there's a girl who is just not that popular or just really quiet and shy, and then all of a sudden you see her wear this old amulet.
Like an antique,
like
has some sort of jewel in it.
Every day, and then she starts wearing better clothes and stuff. Hey, she's a witch.
Yeah, also,
watch out.
This witch is one of the most lazy, lazy, absolutely lazy, no effort witches I've ever seen. She wants to look like her idol, Shauna, who is a pop starlet, I guess.
Yeah.
Who blown out hair.
She reminded me of what people use as a costume for when they're like, oh, I'm Madonna for Halloween.
Yeah. Except with even rattier hair.
Yeah.
So she's like, I want to look like her. Zelda's like, just do this spell. But it's a big spell. I don't know if you want to do it, but there's no repercussions from it.
Yeah.
So she's supposed to get a jacket. So she goes and does magic to get her name on the guest list plus one. So she goes and then she does some Jedi mind trick to get the jacket. And then she does the spell, and she comes downstairs after she did the spell with blown out hair and a new wardrobe,
like perfect makeup,
but doesn't look anything like the lady that she's supposed to be emulating.
okay.
No, no, she's like, I want to look like this. What and she doesn't look anything like
They're
that
They're, like, ethnically different.
Hey, I know. Which is ridiculous.
It would be like me going, I want to look like Selena.
The same.
Not gonna happen.
Well, you could, maybe.
No.
Anyway, so she comes down. The point is that she comes down. She didn't need to do any of the spells.
All she needed to do is go shopping and put on makeup. The spell, I think, is just to go make everyone like her immediately. Like, she doesn't want to go through the effort of making friends. She wants people to come to her house and hold up signs that say, we love you, Louise. Which happened.
And then she realizes, oh, maybe they just don't love me for me. Yeah, well, that's the truth. Mm-hmm. They don't, because it's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. And it's made for girls, which tells me that the lady who wrote it, maybe, I know that when people write, things get taken out of their hands and put into other people's hands.
Mm-hmm.
And that other person thoroughly ruins the product by rewriting it, adding stuff, taking things away. The director can do that. So if the woman writer wrote all the lame messages in this story, shame on her.
I think maybe, I don't know, I'm supposing that there were better life lessons in the original script. I want to think so.
I want to believe. Also, this is something that happens all the time, and it happened a lot from the early 80s all the way into the mid 90s. Maybe, probably, yes, even into the Transformer movies, the appropriation of hip-hop culture. I mean, we mentioned the Top That rap, but it's not just that. It's those guys rap a lot.
Drinking out of town and we're feeling cool. Don't really need to be hanging in school. It's okay, we got nothing to lose. Can't you see, baby, it's a high school blues.
Throughout the film, they're always choreographed.
And yeah, they have choreography. And they pose in the whitest dad doing rap way.
Yeah, but with more rhythm, because they're actual dancers.
Yeah, I guess so. Those two guys are actual dancers. Right. So they do this all throughout history of film. I say all the way to Transformers, because they have those two hip-hop
robots
that are just...
Hey, Mudflap, what are we going to do with this shrimp taco?
Just bump a cap in his ass, throw him in the truck, and then nobody going to know nothing, not me.
Not much.
You know, and all that stuff.
That's actually very insulting.
Yeah, it's always been insulting.
Mm-hmm.
If you like rap, and I do, like a good chunk of rap, not all, I'm usually East Coast or mid 80s, and you know the real stuff, and then you see this stuff, it just seems rude, it seems insulting, it seems like a hipster girl wearing Native American headdress.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Why are you wearing that? Don't you understand that that has some cultural significance to a group of people? Oh, you're wearing it because it's neat? All right. And you're a pretty girl? Okay. It looks kind of cute on you? Whatever. But really understand what you're doing.
Yeah. You're not doing it to honor anything. You're doing it because you think it's...
a neat fashion accessory. But as the product of these rap things in these movies, and in particular this one, there's not a single black person in the movie.
No, there's not.
And there's a bunch of white guys, and they're not at all rapping like any Beastie Boy rapped, ever. These are garble-mouthed, two-wordy raps. The raps are all...
It's like school education video rap.
Mm-hmm. White dad rap.
Yep. It's like the rap that I wrote in the fifth grade because we had to do a skit for DARE, Drug Abuse Resistance Education. We had to do a little skit, and I wrote this rap part that I have no idea what it is now, so don't even ask.
Damn it.
But yeah, it was terrible.
D is for dare, A is for always, R is for reject, E is for everything.
Yeah, pretty much. That's always been my attitude in life since day one. Reject everything.
Dare, reject everything.
Dare I do it? I dare.
Yeah, so my takeaway is, I guess this is a great party movie.
It's a movie you can laugh at.
It is a terrible movie.
It's not that fun anymore.
You have to watch it with somebody who has never seen it.
Yeah.
And I had never seen it. So you enjoyed all of my knee jerks.
I got to do it to you this time. I got to make you watch a movie that you haven't seen that would possibly weird you out and make you dumbfounded, and
challenged,
it was fun. It was very fun for me.
Challenged my comfort zone.
Yes. So how do you like it, Andrew?
I don't like it. Oh, the experience is fine, but I do not like the movie.
I'm going to say I don't like it either. I have a lot of memory of this movie. Just images, like image memory. I mean, of course, the rap that we revisit every year. We have a National Day of Not That. But just like her outfits really stayed with me. The denim pants and denim shirt with leopard print and big shoulders. Her prom dress, like the short, like mini skirt, royal blue prom dress.
With the tutu.
Like stuff like that, like really, really stuck with me. And like her friend with her little hat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I hadn't really watched this movie since I was probably 10 or 11.
And you had seen it a few times during that time.
Yeah, I had seen it a few times. Which I don't know where I saw it, to be honest.
And you don't remember any of the schmaltzy Cinemax porny parts?
No. I was too young.
To have that register?
Yeah.
As burgeoning sexuality?
Right. That was just, it wasn't what I knew about yet. Okay. I was barely too young, you know?
Yeah, I'm not a dad. We're not parents. But like watching this, I know it was a PG-13 film, and appropriately so, especially because of the locker room scene with the dancing girls. All of the scenes, as a person of parental age and being aware of how things work these days, I can say that I would be like, you turn that off. You turn that smut off.
Really?
Do you hear me, son?
Really?
I mean, daughter?
I don't think it's that extreme.
You turn that off!
Yeah, I don't agree with that, but okay.
I'm not exactly being serious. I'm just making a point.
Okay.
Point is, coked out movie producers wanted some TNA in a teen film.
Okay.
That's my takeaway from this movie. Dad rap, really tame TNA.
And Zelda.
And Zelda Rubinstein can't act. Rubinstein.
And Josh.
Josh Miller elevates this project.
To be watchable?
Yeah.
Joshua Miller makes this movie watchable.
Yep.
Okay, I can get with that.
Joshua Miller, it might sound like a backhanded compliment. It's not. You're a weirdo. I love you for it. It's a compliment.
All right, well, thanks for watching Teen Witch with me.
You're not welcome.
Oh, come on.
Nah, fine. You're
come
welcome.
Come on. The bonding experience.
Well, it's, you know, easy to watch a movie if you have your eyes forced open and your hands locked down and your head affixed in a certain position in which you can't turn away. Very much like A Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, I was going to say that I did Clockwork Orange you.
Yeah, so, easy to watch. You're welcome. I had a choice. I don't know if it's easy to black out with your eyes stuck open. But I sure didn't.
Okay, well, thanks for watching and thanks for listening, everyone out there. And I guess Andrew will be back to host next time when he will subject another human being to a weird movie that is interesting,
probably artful.
Probably artful. Just strange and unusual.
But who knows? It could be something like Solar Babies.
Oh, God. This movie was revenge for you making me watch Solar Babies last week. And you guys, be thankful that there's not going to be a What Did I Just Watch on that, because...
Oh, there is.
Well, I mean, with me...
Oh.
Because it would just be Andrew talking and me going, the entire time. So look forward to Solar Babies, everybody.
Yeah, I think it's going to be two crappy movies in a row.
High five. Bye, everybody.
Bye. What did we just watch? Butts, 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 butts.